Hey everybody, this is Katasi Kajubi.
And this is Walnut Ajinor. How's my people doing?
It's a dark Monday evening. Sorry we're coming a little late. We're actually recording this on Monday. We usually try to record it on Sundays. But we're here anyways.
We want to give you something good to get you by for the rest of the week.
To our new listeners, welcome. This is our podcast about two young African-American entrepreneurs. We are real estate investors, and we wanted to document our journey to financial freedom. We deal with a lot of debt that we're trying to pay off. We have businesses that we're trying to launch. We're trying to build wealth, and we just wanted to document our journey because it's very interesting, and we're learning and we're growing. A lot of those lessons are from failures, which is why we call this podcast Failing to Freedom, because we're trying a lot of things, we're failing at a lot of things, but it's only making us better. So welcome new listeners, and to the older listeners and our usual listeners, thank you, welcome back, welcome home.
Definitely. Before we start this podcast, Katasi, let them know about this new mic that we have that we're working with.
Okay, what is it? I'm not going to shout out the mic because we're not being sponsored and paid to shout out the mic.
It's just
a good mic.
See, you see the businesswoman in her. That's why we keep her close. Okay.
It is a nice mic, and that's why it doesn't sound scratchy. We had to get a mic because it was sounding
horrible.
Horrible, scratchy.
So, we have a nice mic, but we don't have such a nice topic.
Nice mic. Bad topic.
Yeah.
Well, the topic's a little hard. We're going to talk today. We're going to talk about how we lost $72,000 last year. $72,000.
In 2016.
This year. Sorry. Yeah. This year.
So, man, we lost that much, huh?
Yeah, we did lose that much. And not only, we also started the year by losing money. Right. So
let me start off with that.
Do you think that set the tone for the year?
Definitely. Of course.
We were doomed from the start.
I mean, well, that along with other things going on, we definitely had a lot of things to work on before we started making any profits. So,
yeah, well, also took bigger risks.
Yeah, we took bigger risks.
So those are the positives. I guess we can talk at the end about the positives.
Yeah, definitely. Because there are positives. Yeah. So the title of this podcast, episode 10, is How We Lost $72,000 in 2016. Let me start off by what I felt that what I did wrong, things that I could have improved on or done better, and what I look to improve bringing into the new year.
So, hold on. Tell us about what went wrong and what you learned from it.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's what went wrong. I did a poor job vetting our buyers. And I want to actually tell the story.
Go ahead.
Of this instance. In this real estate investing business, you always want to make sure two things when it comes to your buyers. You want to make sure that, one, they have the funds available to purchase your properties. And number two, that they'll be able to close on the date that you have set on the contract.
So let me stop you there, actually, because they need to know what you're talking about. So we're wholesalers, primarily. We wholesale real estate. That means that we buy homes from either the internet, but primarily off market. So that means we buy directly from people who want to sell their homes who have not listed it with a realtor. We buy homes from homeowners and we sell them to investors so that they can either rent them or renovate them and resell them, you know, right. So that they can invest in them. Right. So we're the middleman. We essentially are like kind of like an unlicensed broker.
Right.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to call it that because legally. But so yeah, we essentially find properties at a low price, sell at a low price, at the lowest price, sell at a low price to somebody who's then going to either renovate it for profit or rent it for profit. Right.
And in that in between, whatever we're able to negotiate becomes our profit.
Becomes our profit. And so when he says buyers, he's talking about the investors that we're selling to.
Exactly.
So he's saying that we failed to vet our buyer. So right. Tell about this one story.
So in this particular situation, we had three properties under contract with this particular homeowner. And he wanted to sell. And I remember us having a tough time. We had marketed the property for a week.
Properties.
Yeah, the properties for a week. And we had people who seemed interested, but looked it up and didn't end up making offers. But this particular buyer, he saw one of my online ads and gave me a call about the properties. So we had a conversation about them, and he eventually gave us our asking price for the property, and we went under contract. We set the contract to close in 2 weeks. So as the 2 week approached for us to close on the property, I remember calling him on a Friday. We had set the closing for that Monday coming up, and I had called him to let him know that, hey, you know, is everything in place for the closing on Monday? And then that's when he had let me know that the lender that he was borrowing the funds from actually backed out and didn't want to fund the properties, and so he wouldn't be able to close that following Monday. And he let me know that he had another lender lined up that is interested in lending him on the properties, but it would have to be 21 days after. So this put us in a real difficult situation, because now we had to communicate that to the homeowner, because he was expecting us to close on Monday, but now we had to stretch it out another 21 days.
And a little background about the homeowner. The homeowner was dealing with bankruptcy, so he needed the money.
Right.
He was a desperate seller. That's why he was willing to liquidate as many of his homes as possible, because he had just filed for bankruptcy, so he needed the money. So imagine now we're supposed to close the property, and our end buyer is saying that they can't close for somebody who is desperate for the money.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So we can see the urgency in him to close on these properties. So extended another 3 weeks, it didn't sit well with him. He was very frustrated, very angry, and he asked for the contracts to be terminated. And without push and shove, we had a conversation about him, a light one, explaining the situation that we needed to extend. But, you know, just with the frustration and anger, we just decided to go ahead and terminate the contract. The reason why I say I need to do a better job with vetting my buyers is because in this particular situation where this buyer had to get funds from a lender in order to purchase the property, I would have, and I've learned that, I would have had him put his lender in contact with me so that I can confirm and make sure that, one, he had the money to close on the properties, and number two, which is most importantly in this case, because he did have funds, but I would have made sure that he was able to close on the specific date that we had on the contract. And if he couldn't, then I would have at least had a heads up to kind of communicate that and work that out with the homeowner. And hopefully things would have been easier.
So just to clarify some things, the buyer that we were dealing with was someone who does a lot of business in this town. So he's very reputable and he's very busy. So it's not like somebody one-off who, you know, we were sitting there, you know, getting played like, you know, he wasn't a serious business. No, he's a serious buyer and he buys a lot. He has a big business here. He makes millions of dollars a year in real estate. The problem was that for whatever reason, his particular lender who he was working with,
couldn't perform
last minute for whatever reason. I don't know what happened with that. But the lesson here is that we later learned, talking to other investors, that we should ask to be put in touch with the lender. We should ask to be put in touch with the lender to get verification from the lender that they are set to lend. So that, you know, even if the people who make millions of dollars, it still can happen. They can still land in a situation where someone pulls out or something goes wrong. And this is just one of the extra precautions that you take to make sure that you close as many holes in the net so that things don't fall through. So we needed to have everybody we move forward now, we now ask for direct contact with the lender so we can verify that everything's good to go. And if anything changes, to let us know. Because now we have to tell somebody who's waiting on money that they can't get it. And that really pissed them off. Which would lead us to actually our second lesson, was another mistake that we made in that particular another lesson, I'll say, that we made in that particular situation was we let the seller, homeowner, out of their contract. This was something that we had to talk about. You know, looking back, I still understand why we did it, don't you? Yeah. Like, I still understand why we did it, but... So here it goes. By the time he was really upset and he was like, you know what, guys, I don't want to work with you. I want to just try to sell to somebody else. I just want to find someone else. He was just angry with us because we didn't fall through on the obligation that we said we're going to buy his properties. And at the end of the day, if we sign a contract with you and tell you, yes, we'll take your properties, we always want to close. We always want to close. We never sign a contract unless we plan to close or we're going to close. Right. So when he was really, really angry and he asked if, you know, he can be removed from his contract, we did it because he's an older African-American gentleman. So, you know, we had got to know them over 4 months and we had got to know his family and stuff, and he was really upset. So we said, you know what, I'm not going to force anyone's arm on this. It just felt kind of icky to like force it, but legally we could have. Legally, we still had 2 extra weeks by North Carolina law. From the closing date, you have 2 weeks legally to fulfill the contract. So we did not have to let him off the contract.
Right. We actually had enough time for the buyer to obtain his funds and then finally close on the property. Yeah,
because the buyer said he needed 2 weeks, not 3 weeks. He needed 2.
No, I believe he needed 3. It's just... Yeah, it might have been 2.
It was 2. So we could have executed the whole thing, but it just didn't feel right. And I guess we just didn't have the stomach for it. And you know how people make these kind of cutthroat decisions where it's like, you know, well, I worked so hard. Because we did work for a long time. I mean, we spent money.
4 months, you said.
4 months, yeah. We spent money. We spent time working on these projects. Like, we helped him out, the buyer out. You know, we spent time and effort, a lot of it, to earn this. And this was $45,000 we're talking about.
Right.
And because of that, and also the reason why he didn't want to. I mean, if someone came and if his beef was, you know what, I just decided that I'm going to keep the project, you know, the house for my kids. You know what, you know, I no longer feel like selling. Or I feel like selling something. If the situation and the reason why he didn't want to sell with us maybe was a little different, I could have seen us, you know, still making a decision. Like, you know, I'm not going to force your arm on this. But, you know, he was being angry, and I definitely think that his reason for being angry was valid. I just don't think it was worth me losing $45,000 that I earned, you
right,
know,
right.
that
How,
we earned.
Right. However, we made the decision that we weren't going to force the sale of the property, which we could have.
Which we could have. We could have just been like, well, cool down. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
I know for me, there was also a low confidence in there.
Yeah, like the stomach because, to look someone in the face and like, well, you're gonna sell to me because
right, and
that's
also
just that.
Right, and also, you know, the fear of confrontation as well.
Yeah,
you know, he was already angry, and the conversation that we had with him kind of lessened the anger, and then finally we pulled out. I feel like if we had a conversation of, hey, we're still gonna force the sale of a contract, it could have led to bigger things. And, you know, he was diabetic, too. And he was very big and angry. It could have led to, you know...
What did I have to do with anything?
Well, you know, I didn't want to...
You didn't want to raise his
raise
blood sugar?
Blood sugar or blood pressure. You know his wife was watching all that. That whole way.
Yeah.
But, And, you know, it could have led to court as well.
Yeah.
Could have went to court. And, I mean, I know me back in January, February, I mean, I was still new to investing. I don't think I was ready for that.
Yeah, I just didn't have the stomach for that. Like, those cutthroat business moves. Like, because when we told someone else, like, they were like, if you don't go down to the courthouse and put a lien on that property and force them to give you some money. And like, I know that's practice, you know? It's like, if we are in a contract, you can put a lien on the property that will cloud the title and will stop them from selling it until they give you the money that you're owed.
Right.
But it's like, yo, I just didn't have the stomach for that, you know? And looking back, honestly, again, because of why he wanted to pull out,
you know?
Because he had to sell his properties. He doesn't want to sell it to us anymore.
Right, right.
Which I understand because, yes, we, you know, he was upset. But it's going to be like, you know, if we terminate now, you're going to have to find another buyer. It's going to take the same amount of time anyway. I might as well get my $45,000.
Exactly. So that was 45 grand down the drain.
Top of the year, January. That's how we start off our year, losing 45,000.
And I also think that because we had such a good end of 2015, we just assumed that, you know what? Let's not deal with these properties and let's just continue killing it.
Yeah.
And making more profits with other properties. Yeah. So that was definitely a conversation that we had as well. But in hindsight, I think I would have, with the confidence, I think I would have definitely protected that $45,000 profit.
Yeah, 4 months? That's a long time. I think that's the longest we've ever worked on properties. Yeah. And there was three of them?
Yeah, it was definitely a long time.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well, second thing that I've learned about myself that I definitely want to improve on is contractor management. So this year, definitely to start off the year as well, and when we started doing our first rehab properties, we started to get into the renovation business. And that took a lot of contractor management, and I can say I truly sucked. Definitely something new. We read about it a lot, you know.
How difficult contractors are.
Right, and you know, our mentor gives us the great advice on how to go about working with contractors from A to Z. And you know, it's one thing to read, it's a different thing to actually put it into practice.
Yeah.
So, and Katasi, I know you have, oh man, I have some stories on you, and I'll add in. But let me give a quick background. So we were working on our first property on Senator Drive. That was our first rehab renovation project up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And one thing I want to start off with is we learned this from our mentor. An important thing you should always remember is to hire slowly and fire quickly. That's one thing she taught me. And that's as far as working with contractors. We hired a crew to do that property, and they were going to do the bulk of the work, the paint, the installing the fixtures, meaning 80 to 85% of the whole property. It was not such a big house, and they were going to complete most of that project. And they just, from the jump, did a horrible job. The paintwork in the interior, after we walked through it, you saw it was just a poor job of sanding. You saw dents in the wall. You saw some bulging coming out of the walls. You saw the wall paint on the ceilings, wall paint on the baseboards. It was just a terrible job. And we try to provide quality work. We try to be the top 1%. House in any given neighborhood, because we really want to put good work into our properties, and that was just not going to cut it. I remember a second instance that was just a red flag was we had, I think, 4 to 6 shingles and shutters and one exterior door that we had painted red. And if you go to our pages on our social media pages, you'll see Senator Drive. And just to paint that door in 4 to 6 shutters took them nearly a week to do. And that was another red flag. And if I had the confidence now and better management skills, I would have been able to really
fire them as soon as they were whack.
You know, as soon as I saw poor quality work, I would have made that decision right then and there that, you know, hey, you guys have to go. Eventually, that is what happened. They ended up leaving, but we lost a lot of time and money for that. Mm-hmm. All of the profits we were set to make for that property, and we're still dealing with today, is basically gone. We're just looking to really turn it as quickly as possible at this point.
Yeah, and a couple of things were also out of our control. Like, Senator. We end up finishing it. It's a very nice house. It was done very well in the end. We went through three contractors. We fought four. We had the first contractor who had a beef with his sub, with his guys, so therefore they fired him, and then we ended up with those guys who we ended up firing because they sucked. And then we brought these other guys who did good work, but they were very disorganized. So we ended up firing them, and then we finally found our last contractor who finished up the job. So there were four contractors. We went $20,000 over budget on that property. So four contractors, $20,000 over budget, because you still pay them even if they suck. So you pay people, or you spend the money on people, they suck, and you hire someone else. You have to pay to do the work again, because the house had to be re-sanded and painted. So they did it again. By the time we fired those guys, because they were disorganized, we needed to get another guy. So four contractors and $20,000 over budget later, all the profits basically sucked out. We're trying to sell it, and we get a buyer in the first weekend.
We get a buyer for that property, and we go through the whole financing process for them to get the loan, and
10 days before it closes.
10 days before it closes, they back out
crying, talking about her mom called, talking about they want to build a pool or something. That was like, what? And there's nothing you can do if a buyer doesn't want to buy the house, then they don't want to buy the house. But it's a waste of time, because when someone says they want to buy your house and they take it off the market and they put a deposit down, she's not getting her deposit back in any of that. So, I mean, we get to keep that, but it's still not the same as our house spent 30 days off the market.
Right, just for her to obtain a loan.
Which she was approved for, because you got to have, before you take out the market, you have to have people who are approved. She was an approved buyer. We don't know what really happened. We just know that her mom took over and started talking for her and saying things that didn't make sense, like she wanted a pool or something. So the buyer was gone, and now the house is back on the market. So we couldn't control that. We had another house on Blairwood that you've seen on our social media that Hurricane Matthew, when we were a week out from finishing it, came through and destroyed it. The whole bottom level. It's a two-story house. Hurricane Matthew came through and destroyed it. So we're basically going to have to do the whole bottom level over again. Like, rip out the walls, rip out the insulation, rip out the floors.
Well, that's what we're doing currently.
That's what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. So something that was supposed to be done in October is now on hold. So that means the profit is gone, basically. We're hoping to break even at this particular point. So between those two houses, we have lost almost $30,000.
Yep.
Or yep. Like 27 or something like that. But yeah, and all in all, it's been a tough year. The positives are that we took bigger risks. We did start rehabbing. Right, we took bigger risks. We did what we thought was best in the situation where we let the seller out of the contract. We definitely make that decision out of what we thought was a good place. But in business,
right,
following your heart, or doing what's soft isn't really smart all the time.
Right,
and exactly. I agree at that right. For that particular reason,
I think you should always primarily focus on your bottom line.
Yeah, unless it's like morally
what's best for business.
And it's just like a moral thing, but it wasn't. Like, when I'm like looking back on it, the reason why he didn't want to sell to us anymore wasn't anything that I feel like would morally conflict with my values. He just was mad, which I get. But at the end of the day, he was still gonna sell his property, so might as well sell to me, and I might as well just get my $45,000.
What are some things all those situations taught you as far as things you needed to overcome?
Well, like you said, having that stomach for the business, and also just being organized, and just, like I said, making sure that I have all my ducks in a row. And also firing quickly, because that's another thing that we didn't have the stomach to do, was fire those contractors real quick.
I said that.
Giving someone another chance. Like, okay.
Yeah, and that's the softness in me. Like, hey, he'll get better, but,
Or, we can correct it. But it's like, when you have your money on the line,
right?
You can't
take those risks.
You can't take those risks because, you want to help people out. People seem like good guys, but if they don't do good work, they got to go.
Yeah.
So
the point is to fail to freedom, not fail to keep failing.
Yes, owner.
I wasn't gonna bring this up, and we may not have time, but I remember that fight that you got into.
Wow.
But we're gonna leave that up. Wow. That's actually for another podcast.
You can't just say,
listen,
I got into
guys,
a fight.
We thank you so much.
No, why are you serious? You gotta clarify your statement.
No, I'm seriously leaving
that
for another.
You're trying to wrap it up?
Listen.
Yomana, you have to clarify your statement because you're not going to have people out here thinking that I'm some kind of crazy.
No, listen, that's seriously for another podcast.
It's really...
I think we can title it The Frustrations of the Business. We can title it that.
Yo, you're corny.
But, yeah, that should be a juicy one. Listen, guys, we're on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Twitter. Katasi just... put us on with some Periscope.
Yes, I did.
And we have our Gmail. Please, guys, look us up.
Well, tell them the handles.
Okay. Instagram.
Facebook.
Instagram. Facebook.
Is Failing to Freedom, T-O.
Uh-huh. Failing to Freedom.
T-O, mm-hmm. As in Failing T-O Freedom. Mm-hmm. Periscope and Twitter.
Is Failing the number two
freedom. Because they don't have enough characters for me to spell out the word two.
Right.
And our Gmail is failingtofreedom@gmail.com. So you can send us email asking us questions or comments.
Giving us advice.
Yeah, giving us advice. Or my real estate investors out there, or my business, my hardcore tough business people.
Uh-huh, my entrepreneurs.
If you have some advice of us how to grow, you know, that backbone. If you want to teach Juana how to put some bass on his voice for once.
Oh, you like my deep voice?
No, absolutely not.
Do you hear my deep voice through
okay,
this new
thank
mic?
Thank you.
See, I got that deep voice.
For real, though, our mic is blue. It's called Blue Snowball.
Snowball Ice.
Yeah, Blue Snowball Ice. The company is blue and the mic is Snowball Ice. Shouting them out because I do like the mic. It's good quality. It's cleaning up our stuff a little bit. We bought off Amazon.
I'll take a picture with me holding
it. It was just a picture of the mic.
And me.
But thank y'all.
Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all. All love.